Well, last week we began this series called The Holy Spirit's Life, and we're looking at the idea of what it means to live a holy life. And the way that we do that is through the equipping and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so last week we talked about the initial idea, which is on holiness, the invitation that we have to be a holy people. We respond to God's call to be holy as He is holy. And we talked about how we live into that. Well, part of living into that might seem a little difficult on the surface. When you look at it and you think about, gosh, that's an incredible ask to think, how can I live as a holy person as God is holy? And so what we're going to look at over the course of the next few weeks is we're going to go deeper into that idea, and we're going to look at the role that the Holy Spirit plays within that. And as we think about it, today we're going to talk about the way that the Spirit functions and serves as a guide in our lives. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a tour or a trip of some sort in which you needed a guide to help you fully understand what you were doing and what you were a part of. I had the chance to go earlier this year to Africa for the very first time. And while I was there, got to tour a bunch of convention centers. That was, you know, not the exciting part. But on our last day, we had a little bit of free time, and we were able to go to the Rhino and Lion Wildlife Preserve about an hour from Johannesburg, South Africa. And here's a picture of me. And, well, no, I'm not in this picture, actually. Okay, you can go back to the other two people. So here's a picture of my friend Mike, who lives in Ohio, and my friend Ellie, who lives in South Africa. They were my companions for this trip. And then these were the animals that we were able to see as a part of the trip. We got to see Pumbaa from The Lion King, super exciting. I sang to him, "If I were a young warthog," and he did not respond at all. Got to see Aslan, that was pretty awesome. There's a skipperbok in there, a cheetah, a zebra, a hippo. Pretty cool experience. But here's the thing. What made that experience was not just what we saw. Our guide was incredible. And we kind of lucked into it because we showed up thinking we were doing a self-guided tour, but we were not in the right time window. They were getting ready to close within an hour, and they said, "Nope, we're only doing scheduled tours. You have to go with one of them. We can't let you go and do a self-guided one." So we said, okay. So we hop in this truck with this guy, and he ends up being able to take us exactly where the animals are. He knew exactly where to find them. And then there was this one point when we went into the lion area, when we were looking at the lions, and there's this huge open grass field, and normally people have to stay on the path, and he goes, "I'm not supposed to do this, but I want to get you as close as possible." So here's the picture of me with Aslan, and this was as close as we got. I mean, I could just about, I mean, he didn't get close enough that we could reach out and touch them, thankfully, but it was still pretty close. It was pretty amazing, and he said he was breaking the rules. I don't know if he really was or not, but it was amazing. And even my friend Ellie, who lives in Africa, he had never seen some of the animals that we got to see, so it was an incredible experience, all made possible because we had the right guide. And when we think about our life and we think about living into the holiness that God calls us into, it takes knowing what it's all about to guide someone into that. And so we follow the leading of the guide, and the guide for us is the Holy Spirit. And so the question for us is, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, why do we even need the Holy Spirit? You know, what is the point of the Holy Spirit? Why is it significant to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives? And as we're going to talk about over the course of the next few weeks, it is to invite us into that holy life. And the reason we want to live into that holy life is because it is the best that God has for us. It is the life that God desires for us, that we would experience a nearness to Him and fellowship with Him and live a life that glorifies both Him and also unites us with other people as we live out the love of God and love of other people. Now, if you're taking notes, this is going to be a little out of order, but if you jump down to the bottom, we've got a list of things that Jesus promised about the Holy Spirit. If we were to go through and read John chapter 14 through 16, we would see there are five promises that show up about what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. The first is in John 14, verse 16, it says, "The Holy Spirit will help us and accompany us. The Spirit will be with us." We'll read that verse in just a minute. Later in the 14th chapter, we're told that the Spirit will teach us and remind us all that Jesus has taught us before. And then in chapter 15, it says that the Spirit will testify, just as we are called to testify, the Spirit himself will testify to who Jesus is. And then in chapter 16, what we read this morning, we are given the invitation to know that the Spirit is there to convict us and also to guide us into all truth. And so that is what the Spirit is all about. Those are kind of like the bullet points of what Jesus promised the Spirit would be all about. And this morning, we're going to kind of hone in on the back end of that and look at how we can live a life that's holy and a life that is guided by the Spirit. And so we're going to start by just looking at the initial promise that Jesus gives about the Holy Spirit. In chapter 14, we hear these words in verses 16 and 17. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Now that word advocate right there in the Greek is paraclete. Paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete. Like a pair of cleats that you would go and play football in, a paraclete. So the paraclete, it's this really, really big word that sometimes is translated as advocate, sometimes is translated as helper, sometimes is translated as counselor, sometimes is translated as companion. And if you're wondering which of those is the right way to translate it, the answer is yes. All of those are descriptions of what the Holy Spirit does within our lives. And so Jesus says, and he will give you, the Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. There's that promise that he will be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That first incredible promise that we get about the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? So we can experience the presence. So we can experience the presence of God in our lives. We can experience that nearness. Now, I remember when a few years ago, I had the chance to teach for several years beginning preachers up at Emory University how to preach their first sermon. And so we would get together in this class, and I was trying to explain to them that it's really not that hard to get up and talk, and I apparently find that easier than some people. And so we kind of had a little bit of back and forth about that. But I would work with them on how you look at a passage of Scripture and how you develop a sermon around it. And so it just so happened that every year when I did that class, it would be during the Easter season, and one of the Easter passages that you read in the weeks following Easter is that passage from John chapter 14. And so in that passage, Jesus is promising to his disciples, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you alone. I will send a companion. I will send an advocate." And so with the class, what we would do is we would say, okay, what's the need behind this? Why do people need to hear this? And the class would just kind of, you know, wrestle with it for a minute. And then eventually someone would say, "Well, we all experience loneliness. We all experience the need to have a presence in our lives." And then we would go around and I would get them to kind of try, okay, what's the opening story you could use? And I looked around the room and all these people from all these different experiences, all these different backgrounds, all different education backgrounds, just about everyone had an experience from their life of how they had felt alone at some point. It's a common part of the human experience. And that is why Jesus' promise to us that he will not leave us alone, that the Spirit will always be there, that we will experience the presence of the Spirit is so significant and so important. And so as we think about that, that is the foundation of knowing that the Spirit is a reliable guide in our lives, because we know that we can rely on the Spirit to be present in our lives, to be near to us and to guide us and to sustain us and to walk with us each step of the way. And so we get to chapter 16, and in this passage, Jesus is giving those last two promises, convict and guide. And you might be thinking, I really don't want to spend too much time on the convict one, but we do want to touch on it for just a minute. It says in verse 8 through 11, "When he comes," talking about the Spirit, "he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." Now that phrase there, prove the world to be wrong, is translated in many places as convict. He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. What Jesus is getting at here is that the Spirit is needed in our lives so that we can experience righteousness, that we can be convicted, that we can be restored, that we can be guided in the right kind of path of life. When I think about that idea of conviction, I always love to tell kind of this little dialogue that we need to understand about what conviction really means. And whenever I'm trying to teach people about conviction, I always say the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not condemnation. Those are two different things. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And here's what I mean by that. Condemnation is different. Condemnation says you are a terrible person. It focuses on your worth. What conviction does is it says you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And because you are called to live a holy life, this is not the path that you ought to go on. This, what you're doing, what you're thinking, the direction you seem to be going, that is not the Lord's will for you. That is not going to lead you into a holy life. And so the Spirit, even in that sense, the convicting sense, is there to guide us into what is right and what is going to lead to fullness and life in our lives. I tend to think of it, it's not exactly like this, but the image I always have when I think about the convicting of the Spirit is in the old cartoons when you would have the angel on one side and the little demon on the other side, and they're like kind of in a dialogue back and forth about what you should actually do. You want to listen to the angel. That's kind of the role of the Spirit, that when you hear that guidance of, oh, you know that this is the direction you ought to go, that's the Spirit whispering to us and guiding us and pointing us in the direction that we ought to go. And then Jesus says it even more explicitly that the Spirit is there as our guide. In verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. In other words, the Spirit is needed in our lives so that we can experience the guidance that we need, so that we can experience the guidance that's going to point us in the direction that God wants for us to go. I was thinking about this past week. A friend of mine just got back from a trip to Europe, and they went to England and Italy and a few other places. And while they were in Italy, they had a chance to go to the Vatican. And she said, after getting back from her trip, she said, hey, nobody go to the Vatican right now. It's crazy. It's an absolute zoo. They just named a new pope. Everybody's all excited, and people are flooding Rome, flooding the Vatican, and it's just chaos. And I thought back to when Emma and I went to the Vatican. It was a zoo. It was chaos. There were a ton of people there. They were getting ready to make John Paul II a saint. They were canonizing him. And so it was just a very busy time at the Vatican. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, ooh, I know exactly what you went through. I bet that was crazy and a little overwhelming. But what made our trip to the Vatican worth experiencing and what made it something that we look back on so fondly was we had a guide. We had a guide that was there to point us in the right direction. And this image has always stuck with me when I think about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our guide spoke into a microphone, and we all had headphones on, but there was no way in that sea of people that we could see our guide at all times. But our guide held up this orange flag. If you look at this picture, you can see it kind of in the bottom right corner. There was this orange flag that she held up on a long pole, and it was above the crowd wherever we happened to be. And to me, it was this beautiful image of how when we find ourselves in the chaos of life, when we find ourselves needing to know which way to go, all we have to do is find that reference point. All we have to do is find the guide. And for us to live a life that's holy, to live a life that's redeemed, to live into the fullness that God has for us, we experience that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and finding that guide as our reference point, no matter where we happen to be. And so the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ends up being our guide into a holy life. The Spirit is what leads us into that. And the Spirit, through the conviction, through the prompts to experience righteousness, the Spirit is there to lead us into what's going to be best for our lives and what's going to guide us. Now, the question, of course, is how do we actually experience that in our lives? How do we actually experience what Jesus is talking about here of receiving the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit? How, if the Holy Spirit is our guide, what does it mean for us to follow that guide? If you can't see the Spirit, if you can't touch the Spirit. Well, what we experience and the way that people have practiced getting to know the Holy Spirit over the years has been by focusing our hearts and asking God to speak into our lives. Now, sometimes that happens through the reading of Scripture. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you before, but you might be wrestling with something, and all of a sudden you're reading in the Scripture and you just stumble upon something and it speaks directly into what you're dealing with in that moment. That's a way that the Spirit is working through the written Word of God to be the living Word of God coming alive within our lives. Other times it happens when we just take the time to be still. When we take the time to just sit and be still and hear God's voice speaking into our lives. A lot of times during the week, I'll come and I'll sit here in the sanctuary. If you want to come do that, you can come do that too. Just be aware that I talk on the phone in here a lot, and I might not know that you're here. So you might want to alert me. But I'll come in here and I'll sit. And it's amazing when I take the time to come to the quietest place of the church, how I can hear more clearly within this place. I often will look up at that stained glass window up there. Tony Crosby, who many of you will remember, was pianist and organist here many years ago. He's a pastor now in Moultrie, just started in Moultrie. And Tony said that when he was on staff here, he said, that stained glass window preached to me more sermons than I actually heard the preacher preach. God rest Mike McAfee's soul. But Tony said that that was such an incredible way for God to speak to him. And so when I moved here, I found myself doing the same thing. And there's that amazing image that Jesus is there, even though Peter is sinking into the water, Jesus is there. Jesus is not going to let him drown. Jesus is not going to let him go. And sometimes I'll come in here and I'm praying and I'm wrestling through something. And all it takes is just a moment in this space and that reminder that Jesus is there. Jesus is present, and the Spirit and the power and the presence of the Spirit lead us and guide us in those moments when we so desperately need to know that someone is near. And so it's like these little whispers that come into our lives. Sometimes it's those little nudges from God. Sometimes it's just stumbling upon something that speaks to you, and other times it might even be through someone else, nudging you and pointing you in the right direction because God's speaking to them too. The Spirit's desire is that we would live a holy life. And the way God leads us and invites us into that is through the guidance and through the voice of the Holy Spirit within our lives. I tend to think of it as an example that I love to give whenever I talk about the guidance and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think back to this story I heard many years ago about the blues artist Jimmy Reed. Jimmy Reed had difficulty remembering the words to his songs. And so when he would go in the studio, he would bring his wife alongside him. And his wife's job was to make sure he remembered the lyrics. And so what she would do, if you listen really, really closely to some of his recordings, you can hear kind of this murmuring whisper in the background right before each verse begins. And it's Jimmy Reed's wife whispering to him, making sure he knows where he needs to go next. For us, the Spirit is there when we need that voice of guidance, there when we need that voice of truth, and there to point us in the right direction, saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way that God is calling you, as we are invited to experience the fullness of a holy life. And so as we continue to go through and look at how the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us and directs us, we do so knowing that there are the promises that Jesus has given us. The Spirit will be with us always, and He is there to guide us into all truth. The invitation of a Holy Spirited life is to follow the leading of the Spirit and to experience that so that we can experience the fullness that God has for each and every one of us.